sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
Something I Can Feel video presentation. We know that you're going to be blessed by our program today as we have a very special guest speaker for you to listen to. Pastor Robert Turner, who's been in the ministry for well over 40 years. He's been my pastor and a good friend, a member of the board of Something I Can Feel Ministries for a number of years. And we're just so happy to have him here to minister to you today. I know that you're going to be blessed. Now here's Pastor Turner.
Thank you very much, Ken. It's my great pleasure to speak this day. I would like to call your attention to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, a very challenging passage of scripture, the first four verses. And it reads like this: Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Friends, God has provided a great salvation. It took a great love on the part of our Father to provide this salvation. John 3:16 said, For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it took a great Savior who was willing to be offered up as a sin offering on the cross to make possible this salvation. I'd like to share in this message four truths with you today about this wonderful experience of salvation. First of all, if you do not have it, you need to accept it. I'm talking to someone who does not know the Lord. You need to know him. This wonderful salvation is lovingly offered by our Heavenly Father to everyone that will receive it. The Bible uses a wonderful word to define who's eligible to receive salvation. It's the word whosoever. That means everybody. Romans 10, 12, and 13 are these words: For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a songwriter wrote, Whosoever meaneth me. And I'm glad that's true today, that everyone can be fill in on this particular word. It's an all-inclusive word. Nobody is left out. It means anyone. It means everyone. And it means you who are listening today. In verse 3, the writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus first brought the good news about salvation, and after that his disciples, and then God endorsed it with miracles and wonders, and friends, it's still being preached today with great effectiveness. Wherever the gospel is preached, people are being saved and people are being delivered from sin. And if you reach out to touch the Lord today and receive this wonderful gift, you can be set free. And you can have this wonderful salvation. The Bible teaches us that it's a gift, and it must be received by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It's a wonderful gift, and it's offered to everybody. I believe, folks, there are some important facts to know and understand about God's salvation. These are the facts. First of all, it cannot be earned or merited. Listen to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it cannot be merited or earned. It can't be bought. One fellow tried to buy God's blessings, and Peter had to say to him, Thy money perish with thee. You just don't have enough possessions or enough money to buy this wonderful salvation. It's given free to those who will accept it and believe. Also, it cannot be inherited. Somebody has said that God has no grandchildren. Friends, you can't come to the Lord because of your parents because of their goodness or their salvation. Sons and daughters who have Christian parents do not receive any special consideration because of the godliness of their parents. It must be received by faith. In John, the first chapter, and verses 12 through 13, it talks about the fact that Jesus is to be received. He's the gift. The gift is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John wrote, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's when you receive Jesus, not when you join a church, not when you learn a code of ethics, but it's when you become acquainted, personally acquainted, intimately acquainted with the Lord Jesus, that he gives you the authority to come to the Lord. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So it must be received by faith. In Revelation 3:20, we hear Jesus speaking, and these are his words. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with me, and he with me. I will sup with him and he with me. That's an invitation that you really can't refuse today, because Jesus is making the invitation. He's inviting you to have fellowship with him. He's inviting you to come to him. And he has blessings that cannot be described to give to you. I'd like you to think with me for a few minutes the alternative to accepting God's wonderful salvation. What happens if you refuse, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ? The results of such an action are well defined in God's word. Listen to what Jesus said in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Friends, that's the alternative. It's receive him and have life, or it's reject him and the wrath abides on the person who rejects the Lord. In our text today in Hebrews 2, we have a warning from the Lord that there is no escape for those who reject the salvation. There's no alternate way to heaven. There's not a dozen ways to heaven. Only one way to come to Christ. Only one way to have everlasting life. And that's through Jesus, our wonderful Lord. And there's no escape to neglect and ignore the offer of salvation is ultimately to reject it. That will come, that final opportunity, after which the door of grace will be closed. There will be time after time, and God will give you opportunity to be saved, but then those opportunities will come to an end. The prophet Isaiah had this in mind when he spoke these words, and they're recorded in Isaiah 55:6. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. That suggests there may be a time when the Lord cannot be found, and when you cannot reach the Lord. Friends, the door of the ark in which Noah took his family and took all the animals didn't stay open forever. Only until God had got them in and got them safe. And then the door closed, and Noah didn't close the door, but God closed the door. And friends, the door of opportunity to be saved will be closed one of these days. And then you won't have the opportunity. The Bible, that's why the scripture said today is the day of salvation. And now is the accepted time. Today is the day. While you're hearing this message, while the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, while the conviction of the Holy Spirit is upon you, that's the time to get saved. Many scriptures speak of the certainty of God's judgment upon those who spurn his love. It's final in the Word of God. Listen to Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Proverbs 11:21. Though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Friends, sin will have its payday. The Bible said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And the wages of sin is death. And God's word is true. It surely will come to pass. Friends, doomsday is coming upon a corrupt world. And all who refuse God's call of grace will find out they cannot escape the terrible things that are coming upon this corrupt world. Listen to this scripture. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. You'll find this in Jeremiah 11. Behold, I will bring evil upon them which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. So you see, if you reject the Lord, then there's nothing left but to face the punishment that God has decreed upon those who are Christ rejecters. Friend, every person must make a decision for or against Christ. It boils down to this: it's either I will or I won't. It's either I will accept Jesus or I won't accept Jesus. Listen to these words that Joel the prophet wrote. He said, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley decision." The prophet here is speaking in this passage of a last day happening when the armies of all nations are united together by the Antichrist and they'll be drawn to a rendezvous with God. And there God will deal with them in fury and they'll hear the verdict of their doom. But I'd like to talk to you about another valley decision, and that many are in this valley today. It's a state of mind and heart, a place where they can't seem to make up their mind whether they're going to, what they're going to do about their eternal destiny. They can't seem to make up their mind about their salvation. Friend, the day of Christ's coming is near, and then the decision will be made. If you're still not ready when the rapture takes place, if you're still not saved when the Lord comes back, then the decision will be made for you. Then you'll have to stay and face the wrath of the Lord. Friends, God's word to those who are wavering today between accepting or rejecting the Lord is simply this: choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the Lord, or will it be Satan that you serve? Those who are considering the claims of Christ need to consider what's involved in this decision. It's a big decision what you're going to do with Christ. It needs to be thought over carefully. Friends, it's a choice between the sinful pleasures of this world that last for a season or eternal joy and peace. That's what the choice is. It's a choice between heaven and hell. It's a choice between condemnation and justification. It's a choice between blessing and cursing. It's a choice between life and death. When you think about all that's involved in this choice, it makes it a very important choice. And I'm calling upon you today to think very carefully and seriously about what you'll do with the Lord Jesus, how you'll make this decision, what your decision will be. Friends, if you have not received this gift of salvation, you need to do it. And I pray that this will be the day that you'll say, "Yes, Jesus, come into my heart, and I invite you in, and I make you Savior, and Lord, I want to serve you." Friends, not only if you're one who's never accepted the gift, maybe you have had the gift of salvation, you have been saved, but you've neglected it and lost it. If that's the case, you need to seek the Lord and ask Him to restore the salvation. It's a sad commentary that there are many today who have once known Jesus. They've once been saved. They've once had their sins washed away. They've once known the blessings of the Lord, but they fell away and they're not fellowshipping with the Lord today. Their heart's not right today. And if the trumpet would sound and Jesus would come, they wouldn't be ready. My heart aches and goes out for people like this. I say to you that if you're one of those who has accepted the Lord, but you fell away and you've lost your touch with God and you become worldly minded and you've drifted away from the Lord, you need to have that restored. You need to repent and ask Christ to come back into your life. And then I'd like to talk for a few minutes to those who are saved today. Thank God for everyone who's listening to me that knows that you're saved, that knows that you know that you know that you're born again. It's wonderful. It's something to rejoice about. And I'd like to say, if you do have this salvation, you need to nourish it. You need to nourish it. To be saved is to receive a brand new life. And if that life is to continue to exist inside of you, it must be nourished with spiritual food from God's Word. It must be nourished with fellowship with God's people and communion and prayer with the Lord. A life to be continually lived must be nourished. I'd like to read a passage to you in 2 Peter chapter 3. Talks about growing in the Lord. Talks about spiritual growth. Chapter 3, verse 17. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things," and the things he's talking about is the things that are coming to pass in the end of time that are listed there in 2 Peter 3, talking about the fact the heavens and the earth are going to pass away with the fervent heat, and judgment is going to be poured out upon the world. And his recommendation to those who were reading his letter is that if you know these things, beware lest ye also be wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Here's a warning that it's possible after being saved to fall away from that steadfastness and to become entangled again in the things of the world. And so he puts this warning in here. But in the 18th verse, that warning is followed by an exhortation. And the exhortation is simply this: but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Friends, if you have the salvation, nourish it. Draw closer to the Lord. Get stronger in the Lord. Amen. Growing in grace is the alternative to falling in grace. If you don't want to backslide, if you don't want to lose out, then get strong in the Lord. Begin to get into the Word of the Lord. I'd like to go back to the first chapter of 2 Peter. It talks there again about the need for growth. We'll start in the 5th verse. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. We see here spiritual addition here. If you're saved, start adding these things to your life. And the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. It is the will of God, and it is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life that these things would be added to your life. And he said, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you, and abound. Oh, folks, we don't want just have enough to get by. We want to be full of God's blessing. We want to get everything that God has for us. These things be in you and abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the formula. Here's the way to be strong. Here's the way to be close to the Lord. It says these things, as the Holy Spirit adds these beautiful virtues to our life, it'll make us that we'll not be unfruitful, and we won't go back on the Lord. Notice a warning in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, the person that doesn't have knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, if they're lacking in these things, that person is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Here's the formula for steadfastness in the Christian faith. Here's how to stay away from backsliding. Here's how to keep true to the Lord. Keep filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Keep close to the Lord. Keep the Word of God in your heart. Listen to verse 11. If we do these things, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're saved today, you need to nourish that experience. You need to grow in the Lord. And we can grow if we want to. Hebrews 6:1, the writer said, let's go on to perfection or maturity. The Lord wants us to go on today. Go on and be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Go on and draw closer to the Lord and become a bold witness. Friends, I believe it's possible to neglect salvation after having received it. You can get saved and get this new life inside of you and then neglect it. And that will cause you to lose it. To neglect it is to become in a position where you can lose it. I believe to neglect salvation means to neglect Bible reading, to neglect prayer, to neglect worship, to neglect church attendance. These are all things that are helpful to Christian growth. And if you begin to neglect these, you're neglecting your salvation. Oh, thank God for these aids and these helps to salvation. If we'll go on with the Lord, we become stronger, and God's blessing is going to be in our life. I'd like to say also, if you have this salvation, you need to cherish it. You need to realize what a precious experience you have, how important it is in your life. As Christians, we need to have a proper appreciation of what we have. What is the salvation called? It's called a great salvation. It's a great salvation. It's so blessed to have. Our experience is of great value. Listen to what Peter had to say about in the first chapter. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our redemption is very costly. It's very expensive. And what we have is wonderful and marvelous. And we've been redeemed with the blood of Jesus. We have a great salvation. Paul calls it a treasure in this earthen vessel. Thank God for the treasure that God has given us. So we need to nourish it, and we need to cherish it, we need to appreciate it. God grant we'll have such an appreciation for our salvation, we'll never place a price tag on it. What is it that can separate you from the Lord? What is it in this world? Is there anything that you would put between you and the Lord? If you really appreciate your salvation, you'll not allow anything to come between you and the Lord. How valuable is this salvation? How important is this salvation? It's our ticket to heaven. It's the way we can go to heaven. It's the only way. Only one way, only one name under heaven whereby we may call to be saved. It's the only way that the heart may be satisfied. If you're trying to satisfy yourself in the world, you're just not going to be satisfied. It's the only means of being delivered from sin. I mean, this is the only way. Sin has to go out the back door when Jesus comes in the front door. He's the great deliverer, and thank God he does deliver. It's our anchor in these perilous times that we live in. Folks, it's wonderful to know Jesus when the world's on fire. When things are in troubled state like they are today, it's wonderful to have an anchor. And that anchor is Jesus, to know that he'll stand by us and he'll help us and he'll be with us every step of the way. Hallelujah. Thank God for this salvation. It's the only anchor we can get that will hold. Friends, don't sell out at any price. Don't let anything come between you and the Lord. Be determined to stay true to Jesus no matter what other people do. It's true. There are those today that are stopping by the wayside. They're dropping out of this Christian race. They're losing out. They're letting other things come between them and the Lord. But if you're still in the race, if you still know the Lord, then stay in there. Stay with the Lord. Don't let anything come between you. Matthew 24 tells us, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, folks, it's those that stay with the Lord that are going to make it. Listen to this scripture in Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Let no man take thy crown. Friends, don't let the devil slip in and steal your blessing. He would like to. He would like to cause you to lose your touch with the Lord. Friends, if you'll stay true to the Lord, if you'll follow the Lord like he wants you to, enemy can't get in. Don't let the cares of this world choke it out. I want to read a couple of scriptures. One of them is found in the book of Mark, the 4th chapter. This is the chapter that deals with the sower and the seed. Let's look at verse 7. He talks about the seed being sown. And verse 7 said, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And then in verses 18 and 19, he explains what he's driving at here in this parable, talking about the seed that was sown and didn't endure and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. Jesus said that it's possible after a person accepts the Lord, the seed sown in his life, and fruit comes forth, and good fruit, it's possible that that seed will be sown in thorny ground. And then he said the thorns are persecutions and afflictions that rise up in our life. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as would hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, these are the things that can hinder a person from going on with the Lord. And the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. A scripture in Luke 21 needs to be read in line with us today, talking about the fact that there are things that can come in and hinder our spiritual growth and hinder the Lord from blessing. This is a marvelous passage where Jesus talks about the last days. And this is what he says in 34, and take heed to yourself. And most of us can take heed to everybody else but ourselves. But here the the Bible said, take heed to yourselves, and lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or perplexed with surfeity and drunkenness and cares of this life, that day come upon you unawares, as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. These are scriptures that warn us that it's possible, after having received the salvation, that we can lose it, that we can become entangled with things and become discouraged and drop out by the wayside. I'd like to ask you the question today. What are you doing with the salvation God offered you? Have you accepted it? Or have you turned the Lord Jesus down? Are you neglecting it? Or ignoring it? My hope today is that you have accepted it. If you haven't, then do it today. He's ready. He stands ready to receive you. Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you'll come to the Lord, he'll help you, and he'll bless you, and he'll keep you, and he'll strengthen you. Thank God, he's one that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't it wonderful to know Jesus? So you need to come to the Lord, and you need to get strong in the Lord, and you need to go further with the Lord. Fence your happiness and peace of mind in this life, and where you spend eternity depends on your attitude toward God's wonderful salvation. Oh, it's offered. It's been purchased. It's all ready for you. All you have to do is receive it. Friends, today the Lord stands ready to help. He's our Savior. He's our Deliverer. He's our Healer. He's our Keeper. He's our soon coming King. And if we'll look to him, we'll never be disappointed. We'll never go astray. His grace is sufficient. Paul wrote, the Lord spoke to him when Paul was talking about his thorn and talking about his difficult times. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he's sufficient today. I found out through my lifetime that God's grace has been sufficient in my life. I found it's been sufficient for my family. In the time of sickness, in the time of difficulty, in the time of financial crisis, in the time of family disorder, God's grace has always been sufficient for me. It's a wonderful salvation today. I'm glad I heard about it. I'm glad the gospel came my way. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation. That's why I'm a preacher today. That's why I'm a Christian today. That's why I'm a witness today. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. He's my Savior. He paid the price upon the cross for my salvation. And I've accepted this salvation. One of these days, I'm going to receive the reward of being faithful and true to the Lord. And so will you, if you're faithful. Let's go back again to our text in Hebrews chapter 2. Look once again at what the word says. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I'm glad I didn't neglect it. I'm glad I received it. And many of you that are watching and listening to me, you also have received the Lord. And you're joyful in that experience. And you're glad that you received him. Thank God. And so today, I present it to you. I say, this is your opportunity. Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. His arms are open to you. And you can come to him. And I want to pray with you. And as I pray, I want you to open your heart and let the Holy Spirit do a marvelous work in your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. We thank you for the blessings that come our way. Thank you most of all for the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior. A gift given in love and a gift offered to everybody. And I pray, Lord, for everyone that's listening to me that has not accepted you, that this will be the day they do. And I pray for those that have made a start but become discouraged and drop by the wayside. I pray you'll help them to get back in the race again and to be restored by the grace of God. I pray for those who are still serving you, Lord. Thank God for their steadfastness. And I pray that they'll get stronger and grow more in the Lord and draw closer to you. For these are difficult days. Lord, we believe that the rapture is soon at hand. The coming of the Lord is nigh. And we need to be ready. Now touch every life. both spiritually and physically. Lord, I'm thankful that there's nothing too hard for you. Save those that need to be saved, and heal those that need to be healed. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing to every sick person today. I speak it in the name of Jesus. I bind the enemy. I bind the thing that comes come upon them. I bind the spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. Now we thank you, Lord, for all that's being accomplished because of your word today. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.